Hello and welcome to episode 26 of the Writing Talk podcast. We're coming back after a prolonged hiatus, we'll politely call it. So I'm trying to get the podcast going again and trying something a little bit different. So without further ado, I will take you straight into the live writing session that I did the other day. Just yesterday, I did a live session of having a go at a writing exercise while streaming it live on YouTube, and we'll see what you think to it. So here we go. Welcome to the Writing Talk podcast, a show that helps you to build your skills as we go on our writing journey together. Oh, okay, so that's actually started straight away. So forgive me if that isn't a very smooth beginning, but I'm just trying an experiment here where we're trying to relaunch the Writing Talk podcast by doing some live sessions, and you know, you've got to have some skin in the game here. So I have just gone straight into the streaming thing, and we'll see how it goes. You might be noticing I'm lurking down in a little corner there from YouTube. I will be trying to get all the audio cleaned up and put out in the traditional way on the Writing Talk podcast the audio podcast. Okay. And this is the problem with doing things live, is that you freeze and you forget what you're going to say. Okay. I'm going to dive straight into this because it's probably a mistake. It's probably not going to work. So I'm just going to try and write some things from scratch. And really what made me think about this was some time ago I went to a cookery demonstration that are, you know, quite into food and lots of making lots of homemade food and things. And I saw this lady. She's a very nice lady, but she had a business where she made pizzas, and so we sat down to watch her do this, and she talked a lot about it. She said how many pizzas she made, and she talked about ingredients and things, and she needed some dough, and then it was all kind of over, and she didn't make a pizza. And I kind of thought, well, really, there's lots of writing podcasts, there's lots of people talking, there's lots of people interviewing each other and saying more or less, you know, contradictory things all the time. And I thought, well, why not go ahead and do some and be the equivalent of the person making the pizza? The difference, of course, is I don't have a recipe to follow. I've only got whatever might pop into my head at the time. And if I'd pre-prepared something again, I don't think this would work. I don't think it would be genuine. So that's what we're after at all times, authenticity. So forgive me if it's a bit ropey, and we'll see. It's the first time trying it. Obviously, there'll be some things to change as we go along. It might be that, you know, the audio or the video might be terrible. I don't know, but we'll see how it goes. So that's why I'm small and in one corner. For those listening in audio, or those listening in black and white, you might say, I will, of course, be reading out everything I write and explaining it, and not just doing it, but trying to say why I'm doing something. So I'll just share with you the fact that this makes you nervous. It's difficult doing something like this in front of people, even if at this point nobody knows it's there, probably, and so nobody's watching, hopefully, fingers crossed. It's still quite a nerve-wracking kind of feeling, and sometimes that's the way you have to approach the page, I think. Throw up on your typewriter, as what's-his-name said, whose name's gone out of my mind, of course, Chandler, Raymond Chandler. So we did say clean up in the afternoon. Okay. So I'll give it a go and we'll see what happens. The software I'm using here is in Windows. So I believe it is available on some other platforms. It's a free program called Typora. And I'll put a link on the website, which is writingtalkpodcast.com. And it's a really nice little stripped back, distraction free text editor. It uses Markdown. If you haven't used Markdown before, there's all kinds of useful features in there for people who do code and so on, but other forms of text, but really for fiction it does work really well. It's quite quick. Typora is quite a good Markdown editor. I've been using it for a while. It's very simple, it's very straightforward, and with a few little tweaks, you can have it just how you want. I'm using a dark theme. There are various themes that you can switch around. And you can tweak with it to do the settings as you wish. So I think as well, for a freebie, very worthwhile using. Obviously, you're not getting all the bells and whistles of something like Scrivener. I have used Scrivener a lot in the past, but in this case, I am really just all about getting words down onto the page. Now, I'm going to be typing away live into this, although it's below my microphone. I do use a mechanical keyboard, so if the noise vexes you, I'm sorry about that, but you know, hopefully it will be minimized the effect on you. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to just drag a random image generator over here, and we're going to see if we can think of some ideas, and I'll sort of go through that process as well. So this is a writing exercises thing. Now, that first one just that leaves me very cold. I've really no idea what that might. That's just a funny one. Well, there could be something there. That could be an interesting one. We've got a person sitting in a market stall. I think when you're looking for ideas, you've got to have something that just sparks something in you. So we've got one here, which is just a load of very small fungi of some sort. And that's quite an atmospheric type picture. There might be something I can do with that. That could be, I've got a sort of, it might be something like Mont Saint-Michel, something like that. I don't know. It's it's sort of a churchy type or a cathedral on the top of an island, which itself looks an amazing kind of setting. Okay, let's go with that. That looks to me like it could be some kind of fantasy type setting. The sort of the idea of an island, so that enclosed environment I like. That could be quite a good type thing. I'm not a fantasy author. I haven't written fantasy stuff before. Again, I think this is important. So if I'm going to do these, I'm going to try and do all sorts of things that I've never done before and just see how they go, you know. Whatever genre that might be, I'm just gonna go for it. I know people say write what you know, but we all know something about, you know, a bit of everything. We're all share human experience, so I think we'll try and bring that in. So okay, so I've got kind of an islandy thing vibe. I've got a churchy kind of vibe. Could be a historical thing. Could be a modern thriller. Let's go with a sort of fantasy vibe thing for this. Okay, so I'll move that out of the way. And one thing you can do when you're writing in Markdown is you can use this, a hash mark, and then you put one of them and a space, and then type your heading, and that will be a level one heading. So that's quite good for chapters and so on. Now, obviously, this isn't going to be a novel. Each exercise that I do would be individual. I think if I was to try and link them together, then we would be in a whole different ball game of me trying to sort of write a novel live or even a short story live. Could be a rather sort of bit of a ponderous undertaking and be rather repetitious. So I'm putting chapter one just to sort of get me into it. Let's start with a character doing something. That's always good. We'll try and get straight into action. We don't want any of those sort of shoe leather scenes. We don't want any exposition. We want to go straight into something. And in the first draft, people often start with a bit of exposition, which is later removed. You know, that's okay, but I don't have time for that. We're going to go straight into something. I would kind of encourage you to think in terms of scenes. People often sort of get very bogged down with word count. How many words should be in a chapter? How many words should this be? How many, what's a novella? You know, how many words should I aim for? Does this genre have different expectations? And it's a bit of a red herring, really. People play with all kinds of form all over the place, and word count is not the thing in their mind. What they are getting over is a scene. So try and think in terms of scene. If we can visualize a scene, each scene will have something that takes us into it, some kind of development in the middle, and something that takes us out of it at the end. And how we deal with that ending could be different depending on the effect we're trying to create. But we shall worry about that in a bit. Let's just start off with just think, how can we get into the scene? So imagining somebody on an island, let's have a character. I said I was going to try and go for a fantasy type feel. I've immediately given myself something really hard to do and my brain is absolutely freezing. But once we get started, we'll be okay. Now, we can always change the names later. And of course, fantasy people often have really strange names, don't they? And actually, a lot of people start off fantasy and sci-fi with info dumps, actually, which is where people start explaining everything, you know, and such had been a, you know, apprentice to whatever for so many long years and blah, blah, blah. You know, we get all the background of his village and, oh, his father and his mother and everything just kind of explained. And that's a bit of a fatal flaw. So let's not have that. So when I'm doing this, what I'm trying to get over in my head now is that I immediately I'm doing this live, I start to think, well, I have to have it right. And that's quite a crippling thing to do in any kind of draft, is to think, well, I must have it right, because then you don't start, or you fuss over the starting of it so badly that you know, you mess it up, you bodge up the whole thing. So I'm going to have to try and get over that now and say to myself, it doesn't matter if this isn't any good. In fact, I don't expect it to be any good. And things that I say, you might think, well, that man's a fool. You know, obviously I wouldn't do it like that. He's thinking about it all wrong. And that's great. I would actually just like, my sort of goal for this is not to produce a perfect piece of writing, but to do something that I think is going to be thought-provoking for you. And if you agree or disagree, it doesn't matter. That's all good stuff. If you're, you know, pushing yourself forward in some way, all learning is actually individual. We construct our own learning in the end. We take things in, we reject them, we build on what we already know, we expand it. Sometimes we throw our ideas aside and move forward. You know, that's how we learn things. So that's the teacher in me coming out, I'm afraid. So, okay. So let's just start off with some kind of name. He's going to be male. Is this person? I don't know. That sounds a bit... how can we start it? I've got to get something on down here before I go mad. So... have we fallen at the first hurdle? Can I not even think of a name? Goodness me. Let's take an old-fashioned one. Let's say Harald, which is an older spelling of like Harold type, I believe, with two A's. Okay. So we're on this kind of steep hill on this kind of small island, and let's have him. I can imagine when I look at that, I start to get in my head a picture of somebody running down a cobbled street. I imagine it quite gloomy, so let's have it evening. These times can be quite atmospheric, like first thing in the morning, last thing at night, that sort of dusk when things are changing, shadows are lurking and so on. So let's see if we can do that. He could be sort of sneaking along, but I think we'll just start short and sweet. Now, I'm going to keep going back over things and changing them as I go, okay? And you'll see as we go on, hopefully. Okay, so I'll just... Harald ran. He ran... If I start using cliches like kind of hell for leather... bear in mind that I'm going to change this any time. So, okay, using that repetition, I'm going to keep run as the verb in the next sentence. Oh, goodness me. Harder than I thought this would be, actually. The best thing to do is like you get some, on a first draft, you get some kind of phrase in your head, and I'm being reluctant to put things down, and normally I just power forward and I'd put it down thinking, I'm going to change that in a minute. So the phrase that came into my head was, he ran hell for leather, and I'll just put it in, and you know, I don't think that's going to stay there for very long. He dashed downhill. What's he got on? Hobnail boots. Skittering. Would it be? I don't want to. The idea I've got in my head is actually sets, which are like cobbles, but cobbles are from a river. They're rounded. Sets are the square ones you get, or sort of rectangular ones. He dashed downhill. His hobnail boots skittering. I can't even read now. Skittering over the. I think I'm going to have them damp over the damp granite sets of. I'm going to have to. Going to have to make a street name. In this part of the world, a lot of streets, like main streets, are called Fore Street, F-O-R-E. I don't know why. Somewhere in the southwest of England, there must be some reason for it. Okay. So I've got Harold Rann, and as a first sentence, short and sweet, and people are starting to think, why is he running? So we've got creating questions in the mind of the reader is always a nice thing to have. He ran Hell for Leather, a little bit of repetition, but expanding on it slightly. I'm already thinking of improvements there. He dashed downhill, his hobnail boots skittering over the damp granite sets of Fore Street. Okay. And I just want to take... I'll try repeating again. He ran as though the... All the... Demons. He ran as though all the demons from the. I'm going to have some kind of. In fantasy, everybody's got their own kind of mythology, haven't they? So, so what would their world be called? The demons from the. I can't say just dark, that's going to be dull. I might just leave it as all the demons. You run as all the demons. What I'm going to do is I'm just going to put, an XYZ there because it's holding us up. Now, obviously, people who are writing fantasy tend to do quite a bit of world building, and whether they do it before or as they go, up to them. But I haven't had time to do that because I didn't even know what genre I was going to think about. So he ran as all the demons of XYZ. Not were nipping, so let's get it more active. Nipped at his heels with their... He ran as though all the demons of whatever nipped at his heels with their... They're going to have some sort of talons, aren't they? With their... Curled claws, this bit of alliteration. And perhaps you're screaming in your head, no, don't put that, you could use this instead, in which case, great, I wish, perhaps later on if I get this organised, we'll be able to have some kind of interactive stuff going on where people can chip in, but that'd be quite difficult at the moment, quite distracting. Sketching over damp granite sets of Fore Street. Okay, ahead... The shadows between the crooked. Not sure about crooked. Shadows beneath. So in old streets, you get those overhanging buildings, don't you? Those half-timbered buildings. The shadows beneath the crooked. Let's try overhanging. Let's try and bring in a location, because specific is always better than vague. So rather than talking about a bunch of buildings, what might we have in a fantasy type setting? If it was something like tavern, which was my first thought, well, that might be light and, you know, welcoming and cheery. So that's not what I want. I just want a little bit of a tension rising here. So perhaps that's going to the back of my mind to use for later. So what might be a little bit more sinister? We could have some kind of chapel. There was a church in that picture, a temple. So I don't know what. How about the shadows are between the pillars? I want to describe those pillars, but I'm going to come back to those in a minute. In the pillows of the. Okay, let's just assume that there's some people who are called the masters, and, you know, I don't know what they're a master of, but we'll have to come to that. The head. So the it's quite difficult starting totally from scratch like this. See, it's very easy to get into cliches. I don't want to say inky or ink black or the it's not coming to me, so I'll have to come back to that. So there's something shadows between. Pillars, what are these pillars? I'm going to go back with crooked just for the moment. There needs to be something. So I don't, let's just put dragon between the crooked pillars of the Dragon Master's Temple. Yawned so we can shut it. Okay, as he's running forward, you know how things can seem to move. I try not to use the word seemed. I'm putting it in for now, but it's probably going to go in a minute. I often put it in and then take it out again, because it's stronger without it, but we'll have a look. So ahead, the something shadows. I don't know why that word isn't coming to me. I just put gloomy for now, but it's not right. It's okay sometimes to put something you know is not good enough just to stop it from freezing up your brain for the rest of the time. The gloomy shadows between the crooked... No, you see, it's too many adjectives. Take it out. The shadows between the crooked pillars of the Dragon Master's Temple. So it seemed it's going straight out. Shifted and stirred. Okay, because, you know, perhaps we've got some flickering lights going on. Okay, as the chill, let's do a time of day. It's a chill evening breeze. I'll just say disturbed for a moment. As the chill evening breeze disturbed the guttering... flames. Now, I don't know, because I don't write fantasy, I'm really struggling with some of the more recognisable tropes and words that tend to be, not tropes, sorry, words that tend to be used for things, and it's just sort of trying not to hit a bum note, really, with it. You know, think, what is an escutcheon? I can't quite remember names of the torches. The guttering flames. I'm not sure I like guttering. Disturb the guttering. Okay, let me just go back because... Harold ran. He ran hell for leather. He ran as though the demons of wherever nipped at his heels with their curled claws. He dashed downhill, his hobnail boots skittering over the damp granite sets of 4th Street. Ahead, the shadows between the crooked pillars, that'd be a different thing altogether. Different story. The shadows between the crooked pillars of the Dragon Master's temple shifted and stirred as the chill evening breeze disturbed the guttering flames. So, I don't like the as, that's a problem there. We're just going to go and do a comma. We're sort of straying slightly into comma splice territory here. But I don't think we are. I think this is acceptable. We'll see how it goes. Ahead, the shadows between the crooked pillars of the Dragon Master's temple shifted and stirred. Oh no, we're not, so we're going to go into there. The torches. Ah, oh, maybe it's pillars. Okay, so I think these pillars is. So the shadows. This is better. So the shadows are within this kind of entrance. Now, what would you call that? It's not going to be a porch type thing, is it? No, you see, I don't know if I can do an entranceway, passage. Okay, I'm going to have to leave it. I'll come back to that. Shifted and stirred the torches. Because I just don't like the idea of torches being stuck on a pillar, you see. That's what's bothering me. It doesn't feel right. Torches would be set kind of onto a wall, wouldn't they? Or they could even be more some kind of light within a glass type thing, like a street light, but, you know, with a different... Like, we'd have to decide all this. You have to decide, you know, in your world building, what kind of level of technology you're going to have. You know, it could be that they have magical lights up there. You'd have to decide all that and then stick to it and be consistent. But for the moment, I'm going to stick with these dratty torches that are really bothering me. So the torches set into the wall. Torches set into the wall. I don't really like just saying flickering. Okay, so what have we got there? Again, you know, it's probably not right, it's probably rubbish, but it's just a question of how did I get there? And I'm not doing a bang-up job of explaining it, perhaps, so I am having a go at trying to put into words. Sometimes, you know, you look at something and you think, yes, that's right, and other times you know it's wrong. Sometimes you know why and you can fix it straight away. Other times you just sort of have an itch about it and you kind of got to go back to it. Normally that wouldn't matter because nobody else would be looking at what I'm doing, and so I could just wait and scribble on a bit of paper or anything, or, you know, look up a word in thesaurus even or whatever, but can't really do that at the moment. So ahead, the shadows between the crooked pillars of the Dragon Master's temple shifted and stirred. The torches set into the wall above the great wooden door flickering in the chill evening breeze. So as an opening sort of few little sentences, let's see if it works. Harold ran. He ran hell for leather. He ran as though all the demons of wherever nipped at his heels with their curled claws. He dashed downhill, his hobnail boots skittering over the damp granite sets of 4th Street. Ahead, the shadows between the crooked pillars of the Dragon Master's temple shifted and stirred, the torches set into the wall above the great wooden door flickering in the chill evening breeze. It's not dreadful, you know, I'm sure it's not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. And looking at it another day, I would have a totally different take on it and rewrite it quite a lot. probably. But considering I didn't even know that it was going to be in a this kind of genre, and I haven't written in that genre before, I think I'd be setting up some expectations there in the mind of the reader of what kind of book they were, what kind of setting they were looking at. I've thrown in some little clues like hobnail boots, the granite sets. I've mentioned dragons and a temple. We've got flickering torches. We've got the fact that it's evening. And I've only really written, I've written 73 words. So I think in 73 words I've set up quite a lot, and there's no exposition. There's no info dump there particularly. I've hopefully made people wonder why he's running. I've not really given away anything about his age yet. I think, you know, that would have to be decided fairly quickly, and you'd have to get that in really as a matter of urgency. And I'm not even sure how long that has taken. I'll go on a little bit further and we'll see if you can bear with me. I know it was quite a slow start. I think I've not done too bad a job with that so far, but I would then want something to be happening. Now, let's give an idea in our reader's mind that the Dragon Master's Temple is something to be feared, perhaps. So let's have him react to that rather than telling them that he doesn't like it, which is something I see people doing quite a lot. You know, they say he'd never liked that place or whatever, and that's, I don't want to do that. I don't like that. I don't particularly like reading books that use that kind of style. So I try to keep everything very much in the moment. So what is our chap going to do? So he is going to alter his pace a little, and he is going to give the place a wide berth. So we're showing something through an action. So I'm just going to straight telling people that he slowed his pace. Veering. Yeah, I could have said he altered. He's gotten. See, he wouldn't slow down, would he, necessarily? Unless he was that scared that he wanted to sort of sneak past it. It's all about getting a vision of this, how the scene plays out inside your head. And you can, I kind of play it through, and I would imagine him running past, and I would imagine him going sneaking past, and I would start to, almost like a film playing out in my head, and I'd kind of think, well, which one is the most effective? And if he just carries on running, so it's very much the same, very continuing what I've already told people, there's nothing really much to go on. So I'd say let's have him try and sneak past it a bit, because it's almost like there's something in there that he doesn't want to disturb, okay? So Harold slowed his pace, veering across to, do you veer across? No, you just veer. You can just veer, don't you? Veering to the, and I often do this. I often think, well, is that word really necessary? Is it stronger without it? Can we just take it out? So he doesn't need to veer across. He can just veer. Veering to the far side of the street. Making his footsteps quieter, softer, I'm making his footsteps softer as he moved all the while keeping one eye on the, if I just say temple door, it's a bit repetitious because I mentioned the door. So you can just keep an eye on the temple. His gaze flicking across the... now we're going to have windows. They have glass in this world. I'm just going to say darkened windows. Let me just read that back. Harold slowed his pace, veering to the far side of the street, making his footsteps softer as he moved. See, I'm just feeling very itchy about that. Obviously, he's moving, so I don't think the as he moved adds anything. And it was just felt too long to me for the rhythm of the sentence. Very important to me that I always read things out aloud. I try and hear the sort of rhythm, the kind of a cadence of a sentence. Now, there's only so much you can control. And, you know, you want to let people read things in their own way and at their own pace with their own breaks and breaths. But you do, if you by controlling that sort of rhythm and the cadence of a sentence, then you create an impression and an effect. So it's kind of very, very like what like poetry. I always think a structure of a sentence can be like a line of a poem, and that it has its own little rhythm, and it's important. And if you disregard it, you can get some quite boring kind of prose, which is not a great lot of fun to read. So Harold slowed his pace, veering to the far side of the street, making his footsteps softer, all the while keeping one eye on the temple, his gaze flicking across the darkened windows. And that, after that quite long sentence, I want to do a short one, just making a sudden impact. So I'm just going to say, but all was well. And I'm going to do a semicolon. I'm going to make some little point about that. I know it's making the sentence a bit longer, but I just want to have another little sort of phrase there, which is letting us know that things aren't always okay when you walk past there. Something is sometimes to be feared. What is to be feared? So we could have somebody watching. We could have like an actual dragon there or something. We could have a guard, we could have a sentry, we could have a, you know, a mystical thing or a magical thing that could be, you know, flickers of magic around. Perhaps they're just not there. Perhaps they're all busy doing something. So it's the evening, so what are they all doing? They could all be at their prayer session, they could all be having a meal or, you know, stopping down at the tavern. What are they doing? So there was, ooh, but all was well. Perhaps there's normally somebody guarding it. Okay. How about a creature? So some kind of creature is normally guarding it, and perhaps it's been taken, you know, taken in, or it's only evening, so the creature that guards it at night has not been put out yet. Okay, I might just call them dogs or hounds, slightly more evocative word than dogs. The hounds had not yet been, I can't just say released. Makes me think of a release the hounds line that somebody did in an episode of The Simpsons. So it kind of, the hounds had not yet been tethered at their posts or at their station, had not yet been. Not yet been. Let's say released. The hounds had not yet been stationed. It's good to try and just get, always try and get the most precise, the most specific word for the situation that you can. You know, try not to use lazier words. The first words that come to mind are often okay for your very first draft, but then you need to replace those with something more specific. The hounds had not yet been, I'm just going to say tethered, because that's something like oldie worldy about the idea of tethered. I'm going to say at their posts. And I don't need to say necessarily that they're beside the door, because I think he's looking at the... It's a little bit misleading, because unfortunately the last thing I talked about were the windows. And then I started talking about the hounds. It might make people think, hang on, what are these hounds doing at the windows? Okay, so that was just me sort of sending myself on a bit of a rabbit hole there. His gaze across the darkened windows, but all as well. I'm going to do a full stop there instead. Okay, so let's have the idea of people... no pale faces peered from within. Okay, so that takes me back to the window. So it might seem I'm being very panicky, but I think that kind of thing has to be right. So, but all was so. Hal slowed his pace, veering to the far side of the street, making his footsteps softer, which is hard to read aloud, which is something to think about. Making his footsteps softer, all the while keeping one eye on the temple, his gaze flicking across the darkened windows. But all was well. No pale faces peered from within, and the hounds had not yet been tethered at their posts. I am going to put beside the door, but... unless the torches were above the door. Okay, the hounds had not yet been tethered at their posts beside the door. Okay, it's a kind of start. I'm going to wrap this up in a second. It's a shame, really, because I'm just sort of starting to feel how this scene would play out. So in my mind, I'm thinking, having set up something scary, I'm then going to go into a more friendlier scene for him. So he might be, you know, perhaps he's dashing into the tavern. So he gets past. So let's just press on slightly longer. So how do we know he's relieved? So a sigh of relief seems a bit cliched. I'm gonna say let out steadying so he took a steadying breath. Maybe he can go faster now as he... Let's get him past it first. So he took a... Hal took a steadying breath and... No, he didn't hurry, did he? The last time I used... He was going his footsteps softer. He took a steadying breath and... forced himself. I'm just putting keep walking. Don't want to say a pace. I'll just say force himself to keep walking. His eyes on the welcoming lights of the tavern. I've not really mentioned the idea of this hill that I wanted to get in earlier. His eyes and the welcoming lights of the tavern just a few yards away. I quite like the idea that this friendly place is actually within the you know, right next to the scary place. Okay. Now, I think I'd probably better stop there. It's only 154 words. I'm going to have a quick read through. Okay, so we'll just record a little bit of audio to sum up that session. The live stream, unfortunately, I think there's a limit on YouTube as to how much you can live stream at a time, especially at first, and it cut out without telling me, and I just carried on talking for a few minutes and reading through what I'd done and making some comments. So I just go ahead and record those and add them into the audio podcast, so you're getting something that the people on the YouTube channel didn't get. Okay. So it was quite an interesting exercise, I thought. I mean, I'm recording this the next morning. The streaming on YouTube wasn't great, and the quality of the sound wasn't great. I should be, hopefully that's going to be cleaned up well enough for the audio podcast. But it was all about partly, you know, making sure I sort of, you know, nailed my colours to the mast and didn't back down and just carried on doing it as I would. It did make it a lot harder. It made it harder than I was expecting. I've written things sort of in a public environment before, because I used to teach. So, you know, I'd write things to show how it's done, and as a teaching exercise with like 30 kids, you know, sitting around me and chipping in, and they would contribute things and we'd discuss what worked and what didn't work and so on. But it was very different doing it on the live video, even though people probably weren't watching, you know, kind of hope they weren't really. But I think next time I'll try streaming onto the Facebook page, and we'll see if that's a bit of a smoother experience than on the YouTube channel. But we'll see. I'm sure that there's pros and cons to each of them. Okay, I'll have a quick read through of what we've got. So remember that this isn't my sort of, you know, area. I don't particularly write fantasy, and I had done zero preparation. I had no idea what genre I was going to write in, and no idea what pictures were going to come up. So I was just kind of really spur of the moment stuff. And sitting quietly on my own, I would have probably produced something of a better quality, I personally feel it. But, you know, I think it kind of helps sometimes to see that, yeah, people do struggle, and sometimes it can be hard to think of, you know, even just a name or what word to put next. It's all very well listening to all these people say, oh, yeah, I made, you know, six figures last month or whatever. But that can be rather over-facing, and, you know, down there at the coalface, you're still chipping away one word at a time, one sentence at a time, building up. And sometimes that comes easy, sometimes it comes hard. Okay, so let's see what we actually had. Because my read-through was chopped off by YouTube's little rule on streaming, I think. So, Harold ran. He ran hell for leather. He ran as though all the demons of wherever nipped at his heels with their curled claws. He dashed downhill, his hobnail boots skittering over the damp granite sets of 4th Street. Ahead, the shadows between the crooked pillars of the Dragon Master's temple shifted and stirred, the torches set into the wall above the great wooden door flickering in the chill evening breeze. Harold slowed his pace, veering to the far side of the street, making his footsteps softer, all the while keeping one eye on the temple, his gaze flicking across the darkened windows. But all was well. No pale faces peered from within, and the hounds had not yet been tethered at their posts beside the door. Harold took a steadying breath and forced himself to keep walking, his eyes on the welcoming lights of the tavern just a few yards away. And as I think I said yesterday in the bit that got cut off, considering the conditions, considering it's only 154 words, two of which are chapter and one, we're kind of setting up quite a reasonable context to begin a story in a first draft kind of way. We're kind of getting the time of day, we're getting a sort of eeriness, we're setting some questions into the mind of the reader, you know, why is he running? We're setting up an expectation of the type of story in the genre, in that we're talking about demons and we're using some old-fashioned words, you know, things like hobnail boots. We're getting some of those sort of period details in, like granite sets in the street.
you know, which would be familiar to those people writing perhaps in some of the, you know, steampunky type things. I was thinking actually that for a future exercise, what might be quite fun would be to take that little kernel of an idea that we've got there and try redoing it into different genres. You know, just off the top of my head, just going at it saying, okay, let's turn this into, you know, military sci-fi or whatever. So I think that's something I'll have a go at another day. We'll see how that goes. Obviously, rewriting it completely to fit with the expectations you might get in that genre, and to signal to the readers and any potential readers exactly what they're getting into. Although, of course, you can play with those forms very much as you go on, and you can bend genres, and you can do all sorts of interesting mashups. So it'd be quite fun just to take that kernel of an idea, because that's all it is really at this stage. And if I was editing that now, I'm sure I'd make lots and lots of changes. Perhaps that's something we'll do another time. I'll sit down with some text and rewrite it to improve it. Perhaps some other bits, you know, from some other authors, I'll find some things that I would rewrite. So we can see just what effects we can get by playing around with what we've got. Because I think that's all part of the craft, is that, you know, you're experimenting. You're having a bit of a prod about at things. You poke at things, see what works, see what doesn't. If I was carrying on with this piece as it is, I think it's in a reasonable sort of bit of interest. I mean, I was, you know, woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning, was thinking about Harold. I mean, that's the crazy business of writing, that you sort of start to get these imaginary people in your head and you end up thinking about them, even though I had no intention of, you know, turning this into anything particularly at the moment. It was purely an exercise. You know, and you started to dream up scenes. You know, what happens when he gets to the tavern? We could set up from there a bit more about his character, between you know, how old he is. Is he too young to be in the tavern, or does somebody, you know, say, nice to see you, have a pint, kind of thing? Are they pleased to see him? Are they upset to see him? What news has he brought? Something drastic happened. Some strange arrivals have been sighted sailing towards the island, or perhaps, you know, somebody's been born, somebody's died, somebody's fallen off a cliff, somebody's been, you know, found strangled. Who knows, you know, what news he's bringing next? And that gives us plenty of scope for bringing in new characters. Who's he gone to meet there? Is it a brother, a father, a mother? You know, who is he going to talk to? It could be a friend, somebody he's in league with in some way. And all of those would be choices. And some going forward with that, sometimes it's useful to think of a bit like a sliding doors moment in a story. There are some points where there's kind of no going back from them, not necessarily just for the character, but I mean for you as the writer, is that once you've set that up, it's quite hard to change. Or if you do, it could jar with the readers. No, so if we set him up at this in this first beginning scene, he seems a little bit nervous of what's going on. If he then suddenly does something very brave, that's going to seem quite jarring. So we're going to have to build up to that. We're going to have to build Harold up, you know, and perhaps he starts off with some smaller challenges and works his way up. Which is a familiar kind of trope in lots of fantasy work. It could be that he's not even the main character. He could just be somebody who's taking us into it, almost like a prologue, you know, that he's bringing us in. Who knows? Those are kind of sliding doors moments that once you commit to them, you really need to take your story down that route and see which way it goes. So sometimes just picturing ahead, I often like to think of a couple of different possibilities in my mind as I'm writing, and I'll picture, you know, him doing one thing or doing another. So, you know, so two characters meet, and you might picture what would happen if one of them turns around and says, "What the hell are you doing here?" And you might also picture them turning around saying, "Hey, great to see you. Where have you been? You know, what's up?" So some initial meeting like that then sets the tone for the dynamic between those two characters. So thinking of those critical moments and putting them in is a good opportunity to give extra clues to the readers as well, because you get clues about the characters from the way that they relate to each other, and it avoids lots of sort of ugly exposition creeping in just from little body language things and little verbal cues from how one person would treat another. You know, are they respectful? Are they deferential? Are they domineering towards them? You know, what's the relationship? And you can get a lot of that. The reader will just soak up a lot of that subconsciously as they're reading if we give them those little clues. If those things aren't there, then writing can seem a bit flat and the characters can seem a bit two-dimensional. Okay, so I will finish that off now and try and cut all this together into an episode. I hope you found it useful. I found it, you know, quite terrifying writing in that way, but that doesn't mean I shouldn't do it. So hopefully as we go on, it will become easier for me to get it all set up and working smoothly, and then we'll be able to really get into the nitty-gritty. The website is writingtalkpodcast.com, and that is all one word, Writing Talk Podcast. I haven't done an episode for some time, but it is all there. It should be on the usual podcast places like Stitcher and iTunes and all that other stuff. And of course, you can listen to it and subscribe from the site, even via email. You can have episodes sent to you. And we'll take it from there. We'll try and keep it going each week, and I will try and do a live element to it, and we'll see how it goes. Thank you very much for taking the time. If you've been listening, I hope you found something a little bit thought-provoking there. Comments are very welcome. There's a website where you can put comments, and there's also a Facebook group and a Facebook page. And I'll put all those links on the website. So thank you very much. And in the meantime, keep writing, keep tapping away, and keep smiling.